God, Jesus, Holy Spirit are all present with us now and always.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning at First Mennonite Church. Let us read responsively the call to worship found in your Purple Voices Together hymnal on page 851. Please stand if you want to. Jesus calls us to praise and prayer, to song and silence. Jesus calls us to worship. Jesus calls us to hearing and healing, to service and solidarity. Jesus calls us to love. Jesus calls us to advocacy and action, to protest and provision. Jesus calls us to justice. We hear the call of Christ. We worship together with joy. Now we'll sing our opening hymn together, Love Has Come, number 258 in Voices Together.
Thank you. As Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing their nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come now with me," he said, "and I will show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus said to them, called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
What do you got there? Huh? What is that? Clothespins? Angels? Well, this morning, I'm so glad you're here. I missed you last Sunday, but I'm glad you're here today. My story this morning is going to be a short story about a little girl like you, only she's a little bit older. She's 10 years old, and her name is Annie. Now, Annie's mom would always tell her to share and be kind to everybody. Do you know that? You like to share your stuff? Do you? That's good. So Annie didn't understand why her mom wanted her to share when they barely had enough things for themselves. And Annie definitely didn't like sharing with other people who wasn't kind to her. But she was kind anyway because her mom told her to be kind. So, but you know what? After a while, she would share and she would be kind to other people. She liked doing that. So she would find excuses then to give things to people. Even though she didn't have much, she would maybe give a pencil one of her classmates or a sheet of paper. She liked giving things and it was kind of nice to share. So her love for giving and sharing became so strong that one day she came home from school without her jacket. She didn't have her jacket. You know what she did with her jacket? She gave it to another little girl who needed it. Well, when she came home and her mom found out, her mom was kind of sort of mad, but then her mom realized that Annie was doing what her mom told her to do, to share. Well, a few days later, a friend of Annie's family heard about the jacket story and bought Annie the most beautiful jacket she had ever seen. And now little did little Annie know that God was using her, even though she was a little girl, God was using her to spread his love through her giving and sharing and being kind to others. So that's my story. Just be kind, because Jesus wants you to be kind, God wants you to be kind, and share with others. Does that sound like a plan? All right, can we bow our head for a little prayer then? Dear God, thank you for your awesome love. Help us to show your love by helping others or giving freely of our time or helping give the poor food or clothing or just being kind by giving people a smile, a handshake, or just opening a door at a store or church. Thank you for all that you have given us. No wonder we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you go, last week I gave away some crosses to the boys that were here, so I'll give you a cross for last Sunday, and then I'll give you a little plaque that says "Be kind," and then you can hang that up or put it wherever you want. Okay? Does that sound like a plan? All right. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next week.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
The Lord be with you. Let us intentionally listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit among us this morning as we continue in our series of What is an Anabaptist Christian? Anabaptists have three sacred core values they follow. Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our life, and reconciliation is the center of our work. So being a Christian from an Anabaptist perspective is a combination of believing in Jesus, belonging to community, and behaving in a reconciling way. Believing, belonging, behaving. So today we will focus on core value number two. Community is the center of our life. Now, after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he was led into the desert to be tested by Satan for 40 days. And when he returned, what is the first thing reported in all the Gospels that he did? The fishing net. Yes. He formed a community, beginning with fishermen. These became his disciples, and they also became the core of a new society that was eventually called the church. By referring to his followers in family terms, it became evident that Jesus wanted his followers to not only believe in him, but to have a strong sense of belonging to each other. When the Roman Emperor Constantine took control of making Christianity the legal religion in 312 CE, instead of stressing the family as the church as a family of brothers and sisters that met together, Constantine emphasized the church as an organization that met in the large, impersonal structures. Wealthy men who wanted to be associated with the emperor joined, along with large numbers of baptized people, not necessarily following Jesus. So instead of the church being in the world came into the church. Constantine also built large churches everywhere, and instead of saying Christ-centered community is the center of our life, they said a church building is the center of our city. So turn in your bulletin, just inside on the page 2, to our welcome statement there. And let's read that first bold statement together. And it's been in here in this way since COVID. We get so used to seeing it. Let's read it together. Welcome to First Mennonite Church, where we are the church and not the building. During COVID, we learned that firsthand, that we could no longer meet together face to face. So we couldn't worship in our sanctuary. We quickly learned how much we had been dependent on this building and this sanctuary. We just left everything from Lent there 4 years ago. Now we know that it's not the building. We've just proven that again December 31st when we closed our doors because of COVID and all the other gunk that was going around. And it was okay. We could do that because we had learned that the building is not the church. We are the church. And we were able to meet without our building, separately, yet together, as we were worshiping through our own interactive bulletins in our homes. The theologian and philosopher Augustine from around 400 CE, who influenced the early Christians, instead of experiencing the presence of Christ in community, he emphasized experiencing the presence of God through the sacraments. A sacramental faith developed in which to be forgiven of original sin from Adam and Eve, one needed the ritual of baptism. To be forgiven for ongoing sins, believers needed the Mass, needed the forgiveness of communion. As centuries passed, the understanding developed that to be released from purgatory, that intermediate place after death, one needed to pray to the saints, give money to the poor, and buy grants from the Pope. Over time, the idea of belonging to Christ and to each other in close-knit community was largely lost. Those who wanted to follow Jesus obediently and to experience close community chose to become monks and nuns who live in monasteries and convents. This gave the impression that following Jesus in daily life and living relationally in Christ-centered community was impossible for common people. During the early 1500s, Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli and others tried to separate their teachings from Rome through a total Protestant Reformation, a reforming of the religion of the day. But there were complications for them when the peasants took up arms and challenged the unjust. It was the peasants' revolt. And these high up men sided instead with the safety of the rulers. And they ended up unintentionally forging a new alliance again between the church and the state. Instead of total reform, they only reformed the church back to the structures set in motion by Constantine and Augustine. Anabaptist leaders like Menno Simons, a former Dutch priest, wanted to reform the church to its original New Testament pattern and form from Acts. On January 21st, 1525, in Zurich, Switzerland, a dozen men gathered at the home of Felix Mons. The issue for these early Anabaptists was the practice of infant baptism. The Anabaptists held that biblical baptism required public confession of sin and faith, something that babies cannot do. And on this night, George Blaurock, priest of Chur, asked Conrad Grebel to baptize him. Then Blaurock went on and baptized the rest of them, and the Anabaptist movement officially began. So next January will mark 500 years of Anabaptism. 2 years later, Felix Mons was executed for his beliefs by drowning. He was the first martyr of the Radical Reformation. And a martyr is a person who is killed for their religious beliefs or other strong beliefs, but as a witness in public. The Anabaptists saw the church as transformed believers committed to Jesus and each other in covenant communities. Both Protestant and Catholic leaders viewed this as a threat to the established church. So they imprisoned and severely persecuted many Anabaptists. More than 4,000 were drowned, beheaded, or burned at the stake as martyrs of their faith. I remember when I was young, me with my three siblings would hide behind the chairs that were in front of the bookcase that shelved this book. And we would hide there and we'd look at the pictures. My brothers thought it was so cool that these gruesome pictures were from a Mennonite book. My sister and I would just kind of, but yet we'd look at them. The book was translated from the original Dutch language of 1660. And the story of Dirk Willems, page 741, was one that we've heard many times. And next Sunday, Darren will be sharing that story for our Time for Kids. It is not a gruesome story. However, it's still one that's hard for me to accept. Because that Dirk returned to the ice to rescue his pursuer, and then his pursuer didn't even try to let him escape. So if you don't know that story, be paying attention to Darren next week. The full title of Martyr's Mirrors is actually, it takes two breaths to say this, The Bloody Theater, or Martyr's Mirrors of the Defenseless Christians Who Baptized Only Upon Confession of Faith and Who Suffered and Died for the Testimony of Jesus, Their Savior, and the Time of Christ to the year AD 1660. What a title. Some years ago, Bethel College in Kansas had a traveling museum of the Martyrs' Mirrors. which included many of the original copper etchings that were found in this book. And Warren and I spent a lot of time there when it was housed at Bluffton University, and we went through and read and read. And we spent more time than we really had in such a somber state. And then we had to go out and, you know, go back to the football game, you know, that type of thing. It was hard because with such heavy hearts in our history. I know some of you are also familiar with The Martyr's Mirrors as the musical opera by Alice Parker, of which I think it's in the 70s, and many of you were participants in it. Next week, we will learn about how Christians with an Anabaptist perspective understand and practice Christ-centered community in three ways. Forgiveness is essential for community. The scriptures are interpreted in community. And community is experienced in face-to-face groups.
Please stand, if you like, for our hymn of response, Strong, Peaceful Man of Galilee, number 573. You are now invited to share any joys, concerns, or prayer requests you have with the congregation. Please come up front and use the mic, or I can bring you the handheld mic.
Just a reminder about the meeting after the service. If anybody wants copies printed out, I can do some between a break. If not, you'll just see what's on your phones from the email. Also, that song we hardly ever sang. And I don't know if you all remember Titanic, the one we just finished. That was a song they were singing on the Titanic. Yeah, okay. But it's, I know, yeah, I thought, I heard it in the movie, going, I know that song, but I don't ever.
It's new in this movie.
Okay. Just so it had reference.
Two things. I'd like to see a show of hands of how many of you actually have Martyr's Mirror book in your homes. I'm seeing a lot of shaking of heads. No. One. Yeah, I have it. I'd just like to thank you for your prayers for Julie Finney. She's doing well. She's very frustrated, but she's doing well. On Thursday, she had her first follow-up visit, and things are healing more or less the way they're supposed to. So it's still going to be a long haul. And prayers for both her and Mike. It's a little bit, since Julie's not able to do a whole lot and go a lot of places, it's a little bit of tension in the house. So as all married couples can probably understand. So continue prayers, but she's doing well. Thanks.
Just a couple things. Robin made a sign-up sheet, and I wish we had had it last Sunday, because this is the only Sunday now to sign up, for the Shrove Tuesday pancake breakfast next Sunday. So there's a sign-up sheet up there to sign up for whatever's up there. The part with the fruit, if you want to sign up for fruit, just bring one fruit, and then we'll add it all together. I forget there's a couple fruits already signed up for, but just and have it already cut up so that we can quickly mix it up. And we're going to try to do pancakes where you just add water to the batter. Jan has a grill, and Norma said she has one, too, that she can bring next Sunday. So I hope you all sign up, and I hope you all come next Sunday. So sorry that it was kind of late and sign up. But anyways. Lunch, right, Jan?
Lunch.
Yes, lunch. And then I have an announcement about Athena. She's not here today because she's sick with the mucus and everything else that everybody's been having, sinuses. But she wanted me to report on Jerry. Jerry's at Plum Creek Assisted Living in Brunswick now and seems a lot better than the Avenue. He was at the Avenue of Medina, and I guess he wasn't getting the good care that he should have had. And so he's now at the Plum Creek in Brunswick. And he's getting stronger, just very slowly, but he's liking it a lot better where he is now, so I'm sure that will help. So that's what she wants. So he's doing better, so continue prayers for him and for Athena.
I know it was announced in the newsletter, but just wanted to continue prayers for my mother-in-law, Carolyn Haas. She was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. She is able to get in to the James Cancer Center in Columbus, and they have an appointment on Thursday for that. It's the hospital where my daughter-in-law works, and she happens to be working that day, so I don't know if she'll be able to catch up with them. Sounds like they have a pretty busy appointment. They're seeing 4 different doctors. Carolyn's very positive. She's a very strong personality. I know the prognosis is not good, but continued prayers for her. We're the only kids that live in the area. Her kids are in Arizona, Florida, and California. So, you know, we'll help in any way we can. But continued prayers for Carolyn Haas. Thanks.
On Saturday, February 17th at noon, we're going to have another spa day here at church, and I'm going to do that again. So I put a sign-up sheet out in the back if you think you want to come. We're going to have just a light lunch and have some fun spa things. And I also wanted to ask for continued prayers for Emma and Glenn's neighbors, the Lohman family, who were in the car accident. Just prayers. It looks like the family's home, so...
I don't know where I'm going with this or why I'm up here. How many of you believe in signs and wonders? I think a lot of us do and are tuned into that more than others, but I don't know. I think I'm a little bit more than my husband is on that. But anyway, every morning I've been still going with the breath prayers through Epiphany, you know, until we get into Lent, hoping for some more devotional things on that order. But they've always been right on. I mean, this is my second time around on the sheet. And this morning it said something about I would celebrate blessings. And I thought, well, that's great, you know. And I'm here sitting there having my coffee, watching outside. It's real quiet out there. And not real quiet because this cow has been bawling all night, separated from the calf maybe. But anyway, all of a sudden, a whole bunch of birds, and usually on my picnic table, I've got some bird feed there, a whole bunch came down at once, different varieties. There must have been at least 10 different varieties, just flocked down on that table. And I thought, wow. And I looked, and I was looking for a red-winged blackbird, because that's always my first sign of spring. But I thought I saw one that had kind of a faded white streak on it. And I thought, well, maybe that's a red wing, you know, I'll watch. And they all flew away, and I couldn't see any red. So I thought, oh, well, maybe it was just an old blackbird, you know. And so pretty soon, different things begin to happen. I probably shouldn't go into all of them. And Renee, there's a story there for you, too. The time on our clock said 8:28, and I thought, oh, good, we got a lot of time to get ready for church. And I went out to get some toast, and the microwave said 8:54 or something like that, and I thought, well, what is the right time? So I went and looked at my cell phone, and it was 8:28. So I thought, well, what does that mean? You know, and I kind of subtracted the numbers, and it came up with 26, and that's when the baby's due, blessing number two. And then pretty soon those birds came back, and Jerry was just coming out of the back restroom there, and I said, look at that table. Isn't that a red wing out there? He says, I don't know. So we kept watching and watching, and pretty soon it did fly away, and it was a red-winged blackbird. So people, you got to spring a whole month early. They don't usually come to March.
All right. Couple of announcements, too. Just to tack on with the Shrove Tuesday, if you don't know what it is, I will be telling a story to the kids or whoever wants to hear it, but I can't find my aprons that I used to have. I need two because it's a race for the kids, but they have to put these aprons on. So I have, you know, the kind that goes over your head that's big, but if anybody has any of those, you know, the 1950s.
No, like what your mom, you know, what... No, I always had those, but I haven't moved them back in. But do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. So if I could, I mean, I need two, because that's part of their dressing up to then run and flip pancakes. And it's really fun to watch and cheer on. So please stay for that and your meal, and you'll get out in plenty of time for Super Bowl. Yesterday I participated in the mid-year gathering for Central District Conference, and they kind of updated us on what is happening. But then at the end, you go into these little groups, and I was in a group of five, and the topic, the one question that we chose was, how does your congregation deal with major decisions in your congregation? And it was so interesting. And the big thing is, you know, voting, consensus, modified consensus, which really is voting. I mean, all these different ways, and a five-fingered consensus, which was, this means no, or maybe like this. This means no, no way, done. This means we really need to go back and talk about this some more. This means I'm not crazy about it, but I'm not going to hold up the yes vote. This is yeah, and this is yes. So I told Warren, and he said, well, that's the dumbest thing. How are you supposed to do that? You know, what? Who's going to raise your thumb, or somebody's taking it? I don't know. But it's very interesting how people do it. And then is there an Anabaptist way to make decisions? And everybody was, huh? And I said, well, what about, you know, kind of like how we're supposed to be? Well, you'll learn next week that we discuss scripture together and come up with a, you know, something. But they said consensus is not good for people who are introverts, because then they won't say anything and they'll just go, okay. You know, so yeah, we didn't have any answers. So stay for the meeting afterwards. Who knows what we'll do? Yeah. So today, if you notice, it is 2/4/24. 2/4, February 4th, is significant in my life because of this good-looking gentleman that I see on Zoom. He looks shocked. So today he is 86. He's not here. We gave him his flower a while ago, but let's sing loudly so he can hear us. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dad. Happy birthday to you. He's directing the whole thing, of course. So happy birthday. Have fun. All right. I think we've covered everything. Please pray with me. Joyful God, we praise you and thank you first for all the blessings you have showered upon us this week, even if they didn't even feel like blessings. We are thankful for birthdays and other celebrations we share together. We're thankful for the birds that come down and surprise us and show us that spring is coming. We thank you for water, for drinking and washing and flushing, cars that safely transport us home, for a warm bed to crawl into at night. Help us to notice and appreciate even those little things that we often take for granted. Centering God, who through Christ holds all things together. We confess we often feel we're spinning out of control, pulled into someone else's plans, pressed into work we didn't expect, propelled into countless places of need. Jesus, Walk with us in the flurry of our lives. Teach us how to find you, the center. Creating God, who through Christ brings unlikely things together, we confess we often feel bombarded with way too much information, bewildered by the amount of good things to care for, intimidated by the pace of new technology, unnerved by how to choose among all the choices. Jesus, walk with us in the choices of our lives. Teach us how to find you, the center. Surprising God, who calls all things together through Christ, we believe you are constantly summoning us to pay attention, calling us to set aside our agenda and listen, beckoning us to set aside our priorities and pray, urging us to set aside our itinerary and follow. Jesus, walk with us as we learn to live faithfully in the world. Teach us how to find you, the center. God of community, we believe you have called us to also pay attention to one another in community. Christ-centered community is the center of our life. We deeply care for and about those in both our faith community and the community in which we live and work and travel, close to home and far away. Part of caring for others in community is sharing our concerns with you, God. We pray, we give their, bring their names and general concerns to you first. For Paul and Evelyn, Athena and Athena's friend Jerry, for Carolyn and her family, for Emma Stutzman and her family, the Lohman family and all of their friends, for Angie, Tammy, Julie and Mike, Henry, and John Peters. For those in Ukraine, Israel, Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and so many other places of violence in the world, Lord, hear our silent prayers. Walk with us, Jesus, as we learn and live and love. Teach us how to find you, the center. Amen.
Please stand if you want to for our sending hymn, number 160, In Voices Together. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
The benediction this morning is one that we ended our mid-year gathering with yesterday. It's numbered 1058 in the back of the hymnal. May God bless you with the restless discomfort about easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and love deep within your heart. May God bless you with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work tirelessly for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with the gift of tears to shed for all who suffer from pain, rejection, and starvation, so that you may reach out to bring comfort and transform pain into joy. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in this world, so that you are able, with God's grace, to do what others claim cannot be done. Go in peace.